Okay, so today we're going to talk about how different entrepreneurs structure the hours of their workday. This conversation is in response to an email that we've received from a listener, David Weldon, who we actually met, right, Rob?
That's right. He came to MicroConf Europe a couple years ago.
And actually sent us, he lives in Italy and sent us great suggestions for activities to do while we were on vacation in Italy. So thank you, David. In his email, he writes, I went out for a bike ride this morning rather than going to my day job. It felt great for my body, like always. Exercise is so good for my head. It often helps me clarify my thinking, and it's not uncommon for me to have an idea or two while out in the fresh air away from the screens. So I feel it's something that provides a lot of benefits, but I feel really guilty about not going to work. I didn't have anything pressing, and I let my team know when I was going to be in, so it's not as if I skipped out on something other people were depending on. I'm paid on an hourly basis too, so I wasn't taking anyone's money. So there's no proximate cause for the guilt, but it's there just the same. I think part of it is the team concept of being there when the other guys are. I think overall it's a good thing to break out of the I should be at work now mentality. Any thoughts about this?
Welcome to the Zen Founder Podcast. I'm Rob, the founder.
And I'm Sherry, the clinical psychologist. And we've come together to help founders and their families stay sane while starting up.
Each week, we'll talk about different ways to work well, stay emotionally and physically healthy, and stay connected to the people that you care about. I like this question because it's something that I dealt with for, at least a year, maybe two. It took me to work through it as I transitioned to contracting and consulting, and then as I transitioned to products, where every hour you work isn't necessarily, or it just doesn't correlate to dollars anymore. And that sometimes, you know, you're going to work a lot, but other weeks I would work 10 or 15 hours. And I had this same feeling of this guilt, like I wasn't delivering, or even questions of like, am I lazy? You know, because everyone else is working. Is my business going to go under because I'm not sitting at it in front of a desk 40 hours like we've been trained to do our whole lives?
And in both of our work experiences, we've had a variety of different schedules, like a very disciplined 9-to-5 type schedule, whether we were working for someone else or whether we were choosing that for ourselves, and very non-traditional schedules where we kind of work whenever we want to, both working for ourselves or working for someone else. So we can talk about the pros and cons of structuring your work life in a couple of different ways. And then, of course, I think we should spend some time talking specifically about guilt.
Yeah, because that's a big part of it, right? It's hard not to if it's a natural feeling, but there's really no value in it, right? I mean, we talked about how stress like can have some value on that Yerkes-Dodson curve, but I don't know that, at least in my experience, like guilt doesn't seem to have that positive part to it at all.
Only if it is probing your conscience.
That's right. Oh, I guess if it's pushing you in the right direction, right? Like guilt over not
right. If you feel
family.
Guilty because you are like doing something wrong, or you have a negative feeling because you need to sort of check your actions and how they're affecting other people, then, you know, I think that's part of the healthy part of the guilt mechanism. But most of us feel it way too much, and at times that are not necessarily appropriate, and we have trouble letting it go. So like David still feels a lot of guilt, even though he's checked in and he's thought, okay, am I skipping out on someone? Are people depending on me right now? Am I cheating someone's money? And he's said no to all of those good guilt questions, but he can't shake the feeling.
Right. So he's obviously thought through this logically, rationally, right? There's 3 or 4 points that he questioned and all the answers come back, yes, I'm okay. And yet he still feels guilty. I totally know what this feels like. It's where there's that feeling that you just can't shake, even though you've logically thought it through. So let's talk a little bit, since you and I've worked, like you said, we've worked 9-to-5 and non-traditional and everything in between. Today, we're going to talk about the pros of working, kind of strict 9-to-5 hours, fixed schedule, and the pros of working non-9-to-5 and having a lot more flexibility. And we want to look at them in terms of three dimensions. You know, there's your personal productivity and how much you get done at work. There's the impact on your team and the other people that you're working with. And then there's the impact on your family. So you want to kick us off talking about maybe the pros of working a more structured, fixed schedule, we're using 9-to-5 kind of as a metaphor, right? It doesn't necessarily need to be exactly those hours, but kind of the same hours every day.
And this is kind of what you are doing right now, where you have fairly set hours and try to hold to them pretty strongly.
Yes. for about the past year or so. That's right.
The benefits of having a very structured work life where you are working the same hours every day and those hours are clearly set aside for work time is that it does help avoid interruptions. So it can be a benefit to personal productivity in that you're not trying to multitask. You're not watching children while you're working. Your time is set aside very specifically for work time. And you get in the habit of work mode. You know, you sit down at your computer at 9 every morning, you got your cup of coffee and you're ready for your day. And your body and your mind kind of know the rhythm of your life and are ready to attune to work tasks during that time.
Yeah, this is a common thing that creative folks do, like a lot of writers. If you read about their process, you read about Stephen King's process in his book on writing, you read about Stephen Pressfield in The War of Art.
Mary Oliver.
And they all do the same, a similar thing. They have a routine, you know, and several of them that I've heard, it's like they get up and they have a cup of coffee and then it's like they start writing by 7 or 8 and they only write for about 4 hours and then they're kind of done for the day. And I think Stephen King said he might do some revisions at night, but he never actually writes at night. You know, there's this whole thing. And I don't know if it's a personality type thing, but I am definitely in that camp. I like routine and I like expectations being set up front, because if not, I'll find myself kind of wandering around. And the times when I've had flexible schedules has been a bit more of a challenge for me. But I'd have to imagine that different people operate different ways, right? And that it seems to me there could be a personality type where having the flexibility and really having a loose schedule and kind of working more when you want to could be a benefit. I've just never been that type of person.
Sure. But I think another benefit of working really set hours is that it makes it easier to decide what to say yes and no to. When you have really dedicated and set aside time to work, you say no to everything else that's not work time. And I think when your schedule is more free flow and amorphous, it's easy to say, oh yeah, I can do that. Or yes, I can meet that person for coffee. Or yes, I can run that errand. Yes, I can do that appointment. And quickly your work time gets dissolved, or, you know, it's gone quickly when you're not clearly setting aside the discipline hours.
Yeah, I think non-work is always going to have the kind of the natural inclination to take over work hours, right? Because it's kind of like the same way that work expands to fill whatever time you will give it. I think the same can be said for if you have too much flexibility, that non-work can expand to the time you allot it. I think the one other benefit that I'd mention is if you have a significant other, or you have a family and you have a fairly complicated schedule in general, like you have dentist appointments where kids need to be driven to, or you have school events, or you have these other things, if you have a fairly fixed schedule, then it's easier to know where you should be when. And if you have a really flexible schedule, I feel like they're more, like it's more complicated and you just need more, there's more administration to it, right? There's more, you have to be a better communication with all the folks involved in your life if there's kind of always the expectation that you have the flexibility to do the thing that needs to get done.
Yeah, I think the family issue is a tricky one. In some ways, having the clearly defined hours help with, like you're saying, the routine and the rhythm for everyone in the family. But I think when you are managing the needs and well-being of small people, then there are so many disruptions to a 9-to-5 schedule. At least that's been my experience, whether there's a child that's sick or, you know, has a problem at school, that if you really are very rigid about the 9-to-5, family needs can be frustrating when they interrupt your work time.
I think there are a lot of benefits working 9-to-5 when you have a team as well. As soon as you're working with someone else, it helps to have expectations of when each of you will be around and be available, whether you're working in person or not. Just knowing that someone is online or easily reachable, or to not feel like you are bothering them, or to have your team not feel like they're bothering you, I think there's a lot of value. And then especially if you're working together in an office, I think, which is perhaps a more common scenario, to know when folks are going to be in. And to, you know, there are certain issues that are just easier to talk about in person. And if I know that, you know, a couple of my guys are going to be in here on a Thursday, I will go out of my way to come in on Thursday. And so knowing that they're going to be here, you know, helps me stay motivated, to be honest. But it also, I think the consistency helps folks kind of plan their week. And I think it's just I think it's just easier to get done when you're all working in the same place.
So at this point, you have chosen to work a pretty traditional 9-to-5 schedule.
That's right. And I didn't used to. I didn't for a few years. And then I've kind of swung back the other way. You know, I think what just a couple months ago, I said, I'm really enjoying not working nights anymore. Because I used to always use evenings after the kids go to bed, so maybe 8 o'clock to 10 or 11, to kind of catch up or get email done for the next day or, you know, do that kind of stuff. And I haven't done that for several months. And at first, it was a hard adjustment. I felt like I was getting behind and not getting as much done at work. But to take the break from thinking about it and to get away and watch, you know, watch shows or exercise or have a conversation with you, I think overall, like my overall mental health is better because of it.
It's kind of helped stop the sense in which your work life was ever present or was kind of bleeding into other parts of your life. It's felt like there's clearer parameters around when you're working and when you're not working. And so at 5, when you leave the office, you come home and it feels like you're more fully present at home, since you structured your work life this way.
Right. And it used to be that at 8 o'clock, we'd put the kids to bed. Of course, they don't go to bed for an hour or two, and they keep coming in and checking in on us, essentially. And it felt like they were bothering, right? They felt like they were infringing on my work time. And at a certain point, that really was my work time. Like, I wasn't getting in as many hours as I needed during the day. And so the evening was actually, it wasn't just extraneous stuff. I mean, the 8 to 11 hours were something that I needed in order to keep up. And so if the kids, you know, either kid would come in and start saying he needed a drink of water, or he's, you know, his stomach ache, or just whatever it is, it felt like an interruption in the middle of my workday as I'm trying to be productive. And it became pretty frustrating a lot of times. And so eliminating that has absolutely been beneficial.
The clarity has been helpful for me too, you know, to just have that clear parameter around this is work time. I'm not going to bother you with non-work stuff. We can talk about that later, because I know that there will be a later and that you will make the transition to non-work time, and that we will have time to talk. Rather than before, when you were working a lot of nights, I kind of felt like I never know exactly when I'm going to see you or have focus time to talk to you. And so I feel like I needed to just interrupt you more often or talk to you right then, because there was never a clear later. So there are really some benefits for working a very structured schedule. 9-to-5 is what we're saying, but that can certainly be modified. And I think those benefits are personal. They help with a team and they help with a family. But I will say there are also some real benefits to working very non-traditional, non-9-to-5 hours.
You know, the first dimension is that personal productivity one. Again, I think certain people might work better not having that routine and being able to, say, break the day up into multiple segments. I actually read a blog post, or maybe it was a podcast I listened to, and someone said they break their day up into 3 chunks. And there's the morning, which you might say is, you know, 8 to noon. There's the afternoon, which maybe is right after lunch until about 5 o'clock. And then there's post-dinner, right? So whatever time you eat dinner, I mean, you could say it's like 6 to 11 or 7 to midnight. They try not to work more than 2 of those in a row. And so if they do work afternoon and evening, then they'll try to take the next morning off. And it struck me that I had never kind of quantified it like that. But anytime that I work 3 in a row, which is, you know, morning, afternoon, and night, I start to wear down a little bit. And it doesn't do me in right away, but over time, that starts to take its toll. And working it for a season to get, for a big push or to get a launch done, I think is fine, but you have to back off eventually. And then if you work, you know, afternoon, evening, and the next morning, it's same thing. Like, even though you've had that night, the night to get away from it, you start to feel like you're working all the time. And so having this flexibility and being able to break the day up into segments like that, I think can be really good for personal productivity, because it can allow you to kind of guiltlessly exercise, for example, or spend time with friends in the morning, or to run errands or do things in the middle of the day that would take a long time if you were to do them after 5 o'clock. You know, whether it's grocery shopping, going to the mechanic, some type of errand, that can take a lot less time, and therefore you spend more time being focused and actually working. And that only comes from having this flexibility.
And my work life is structured like this right now, where every day is a little bit different based on the needs of my patients and the needs of my kids and other things that are going on. And it's fairly flexible even in a given week. I might come in or leave the clinic at different times or adjust my childcare time according to what's going on with the kids. My week doesn't look the same one week to another, hardly at all. And I like that for right now, because the clients that I'm serving right now don't necessarily need a weekly spot at the same time every week. And so they have very flexible schedules, and I have needed to and wanted to flex around their schedules. And then our kids have flexible schedules apparently right now. We're in the middle of winter and there's been a lot of sickness and we've needed to adjust. And so it's been good for me to know that I have the flexibility. It's fine if I don't start work at 9 a.m. and it's fine if I work a longer day or stay late at the clinic on a Thursday night because I need to see somebody who can only come late. So I'm enjoying that right now, and it's still meeting my needs for personal productivity, and I think it's been beneficial for our family.
I think one of the pros of having flexible schedules with a team is that if you allow your team to have a flexible schedule along with you, that is a huge benefit these days, kind of in the modern age. I hadn't realized how much of a benefit that would be, but the developers that I work with on my team have said in no uncertain terms that the ability to just take off in the middle of the day if they need to go pick up their kid, or if they need to, whatever it is, go to an appointment or go do something, that it is a real perk for them. And the consensus that I've heard is that they would have a real tough time going back to a non-flexible work environment, even if it paid more money, even if it had better benefits. And frankly, that was a little bit of a surprise to me, because I guess, I don't know if it's because since I've had the flexible schedule for so many years, I take it for granted a little bit. But there's a lot of benefit here to giving people flexibility, because I think it makes everyone's life a little easier if they have the ability to structure their own schedule.
There are pros of setting up your work schedule in any way that works well for you, whether that's based on your personality or the needs of your family and your team, whether working the same hours every day is beneficial, or whether you like or need to have a more flexible work arrangement where your work hours aren't carved in stone and they're different every day or every week. Both can work. You know, both have benefits. But I think the issue that David brings up in his email that is so tricky about this subject is that people feel a lot of guilt about not doing what others may expect them to be doing, or not being able to shake the sense that you should be working during a certain time of day. And that perhaps is the more challenging part of this conversation, more so than figuring out what work hours are really optimum for you.
I agree, because we're kind of brought up with this script that we need to work this 9-to-5 and work 40 or 50 hours a week. And it's really, really hard to get out of that mindset. It, like I said, it took me a year or two to break away from this nagging. I don't know that it was guilt as much as there was just like this anxiety that I was always behind because I wasn't working a full 40 hours. And if I would work 20 hours, I would literally in my head think, wow, now I have to work 60 hours next week. It's crazy, crazy math. And I've totally moved away from that. I was able to get through it, but I don't think it's uncommon. I think that it's been ingrained so hard in us. If you worked a salary gig, or if, you know, you've been doing this for long enough, that it's hard to get through that. So I guess I would ask you, like, how do you combat this? You know, how do you combat this guilty feeling when it's kind of been pushed into your mind for so many years?
I like the checkpoints that David went through in his email, and he may not have articulated it this way, but he's basically asking himself, is structuring my morning this day, beginning my day with a bike ride, is it beneficial to me? Yes. Is it beneficial to my work self, my productive self? Yes. Is it affecting anybody negatively? No. Is it consistent with my arrangement with my employer? Do I have integrity by I'm not overcharging somebody, or I'm not violating the expectations of my workplace? No. And so I think asking those logical questions are helpful. Is there any benefit to this guilt? Is there any need for me to double check myself? if that all kind of comes out clean and you realize that there's no conscience issue here, then the practice of really learning to think in a new way or allowing yourself to think in a new way is, I think, a pretty intentional practice of deciding that I'm going to work when I need to and I'm not going to work when I don't need to. And there's no guilt in that, but understanding that as the privilege of being in software, of being an entrepreneur, that's the benefit. It's the perk. It's the thing that people sacrifice money for. It's not something that should cause guilt.
I think you touched on a really good point there, is this is something that you have earned, I guess, by going into software and either starting your own company or earning this flexibility. That's a thought that I would try to hang on to, right? That it's more of a benefit that I've earned rather than something I'm taking advantage of or somehow working around the system.
Yeah, to consciously enjoy it as a benefit. I remember like growing up in the 80s, there was this poster of this house on the beach with like all of these sports cars in front of the house. And the poster on the bottom said motivation for higher education.
Yep.
So I think the analogous poster is the developer who's sitting at a coffee shop with his feet up having a latte, or the developer who's out on her bike at 11 a.m. This is the motivation to be in software. It's the motivation to be an entrepreneur.
Yep. I think the other thing I would look at and kind of hold on to is you're taking a longer term view if you are looking at exercising as being, you know, a higher priority that on that one day than going in and getting another hour of work done, right? Because that's how you maintain a sustainable lifestyle, and that's how you stay sane, that's how you stay healthy. And so if you look out 3, 5, 10 years, what's going to have benefited you more? Exercising twice a week or working another 2 hours a week or sitting in front of your computer for those 2 hours a week? I mean, hands down, it's going to be the exercise. And so that, I think that's the other thing I would hang on to of why this is actually the right choice to hop on your bike and skip out on that hour or two, is that if you're playing long ball, then you have to start thinking in terms of years rather than this, you know, kind of a short term, how can I get 40 hours in this week?
And honestly, if there's nothing else that people hear from this podcast, it's my hope that people hear this consistent message of listen to yourself, pay attention to what you need, pay attention to your whole person. Don't act like a rat in a maze who's checking in at 9 and beginning their day and running the maze and leaving at 5 without ever picking your head up and thinking about what you need and what you want your life to look like, especially for those of us who have the flexibility to make modifications in our work schedule. Plenty of people around us will never have the freedom of this conversation. You know, we'll never be able to modify their work life or ask, should I go for a bike ride today? Should I meet a friend for coffee? So that is the privilege of this field, but it comes with the responsibility, and in my opinion, of really making sure that you're living well and that you're doing well with that benefit, with that privilege.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Zen Founder.
We'll be back next week with another conversation about how to enjoy a little bit more Zen in your startup life.